Well, Shakespeare, well, William Shakespeare, over food in my favourite cafe, Cafe Beva in Glenmire. We're talking about you. So let me turn, first of all, to the man across the table and say, okay, John Gilroy, I'm going to give you two words, and I want you to, I give you 45 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on the theme of William Shakespeare.
What am I doing, Paul? You'll have to explain this to me.
Yeah, you're... Becca, you were talking about William Shakespeare, right? What does he mean to you? What difference did he make in your life? Or any other angle on Shakespeare you like?
45 seconds starting now.
Yes.
Okay, first thing I have to acknowledge is I'm no expert in Shakespeare. I've a fair familiarity with some of his plays, passing familiarity with more of them, but the majority of them, absolutely no familiarity at all. So the ones I like best are the best... I like best is, of course, Hamlet. That's my favourite one because it covers everything, and we don't need to give a critique of it or even even the plot line of it, because surely everybody knows it. But the characterisation, of course, in all Shakespeare's plays is the key to the success of his plays. But Hamlet is certainly the best. Next one I like is Julius Caesar. And the reason I like Julius Caesar is because I did it at school years and years ago. And funny, I did it for my junior cert, Paul, when I was about 14 years old. And I still remember it. I can still even quote from it without having ever looked at it since. And the one quote I like about it is when Caesar is talking to his council, and he's looking at Cassius, and he's kind of wondering suspiciously and darkly about him. And it kind of applies to myself a little bit now. He said, let me have men about me who are fat. He says, young Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous, he said. And that's right. So when you look at me, Paul, you can see there's not a slightest trace of danger about me. And then, of course, the other one is Macbeth, or the Scottish play. And that's one that I just picked up randomly one time. When I was young, I used to do an awful lot of reading, and it wouldn't be having the thing to be doing when you were 20 or 21 and not really a Shakespearean scholar. So I just picked up Macbeth one day, and I started reading it. And I was absolutely transfixed with it. And looked at it very deeply, Paul. Did a lot. Spent about 12 months, actually, reading everything I could about Macbeth. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. The other ones that I like Midsummer's Night Dream. That's a great one, in regard that I'm very interested in Irish mythology, and a lot of the themes running through Midsummer's Night Dream are drawn, I think, a lot of parallels from, we'll say, English folk traditions of the 16th century, which shares a lot in common with Irish folk traditions as well, and that's interesting. Interesting in many ways, because we nowadays think that Ireland and England are completely separate. And in our own minds, that's what we think. But back in the 1600s, I don't think people thought like that. I don't think people actually were so... There was no nationalism at all, I think. And we can see that in the shared traditions in the countryside, which was all a rural agrarian society. But we can also see it in the traditions of music and all other type of traditions as well. Shared that. Are we 45 seconds up yet?
It's just too bloody interesting.
Well, I'm running out of things to say, but let's call that 45 seconds and we can talk more about it later.
Wonderful. Thank you, John Gilroy. I'm now going to go in search of... I'm going to try and get your wife. Will she talk to me? Marion, I just want to ask you about Shakespeare, right? Did you ever hear of him?
I did.
What do you think of him?
Good. Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
I like his sonnets. I admire his sonnets. That's probably the most...
Do you have a load of them? Do you know any other ones?
Odd lines from one about being cheered and checkered, and it's the one about the game, life's games.
I don't know the Shakespeare sonnets very much, no. But so if I say Shakespeare to you, do you immediately think of the sonnets?
I do.
Not the plays.
Well, Hamlet, Shakespeare. Yeah. And I suppose they're the first two that have come straight to my head.
You're an artist. Have you ever been inspired by Shakespeare in any way at all as an artist?
Only maybe as the life's human condition. Themes, I suppose, that run through most artists, writers, poets. It's universal, really, isn't it? So
yeah.
I suppose,
yeah.
Maybe not. I suppose the sonnets and those lines would inspire me.
I mean, would you say that Shakespeare had much in Shakespeare about transition?
Transition in life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, from my experience with sonnets and things, I think a lot of the reference would be to life and passing a time and our presence in the world.
I wish I could think of actually any sonnet which is about this, but my memory has gone blank. What's your favourite sonnet?
Well, that one would be Life. What's the first one I said? Like, as the waves make toward the pebbled shore, so there are minutes hastened to their end.
Each changing pace with that, which...
Yeah, which went before.
Went before.
So
do our minutes hasten to their end? No, that's from something else.
Maybe. What's the other one? If I thought about it now, I could probably think of a few more.
If I tell you today is Shakespeare's birthday...
Is it?
So what emotion do you feel if I tell you... Oh, I told you now. It's his birthday, yeah?
My birthday was 2 days ago. Kind of coincidentally.
So you can all... So from now on, you were born 2 days before Shakespeare...
Well, what date's today? 23rd?
23rd.
Oh, yeah, I'm the 20th. It's 3 days before Shakespeare. That's nice now. It's an interesting fact. I actually did something. Yeah. I must go. You've inspired me now to go home and have a look up my Shakespeare sonnets.
If he walked in here now into Cafe Beva, where we're having coffee, he just literally walks in here this very second, what would be the first thing you'd say to him?
To meet him, love to talk to him, chat to him, talk about his ideas, his thoughts. And
okay, I'm Shakespeare now. I've just arrived. Right. I'm Shakespeare. My name is William. Right, and you haven't met me before. So, what would you like to say to me? Fair damsel, blah blah blah.
I don't know. I would be in awe. I'd say I'm in awe of you and your work. And could you tell me about your thoughts and what inspires your writing?
Would you like me to write a sonnet to you?
I'd love to, yeah.
Would you? Right. Well, what'll the first line be then? What do you like? We'll get a first line to you now, written. I'll do it here. I've got a pen here now. Hang on now, hang on a second now. Hang on. You know. Where are you? No. So give me the first word in the sonnet.
Fair.
Okay. Fair breakfast. Fair breakfast, you. You never fail. Fair breakfast, you never fail to introduce the day. Go on, you do the next line. I don't know if that's iambic pentameter or not, but anyway, we've got to start. Fair breakfast, you never fail to introduce the day. For yet the sausage. For yet the sausage.
In your chubby way, Paul.
For yet the sausage in its chubby.
You have to speak to the sausage. Yeah?
For yet the sausage in its chubby way doth. That's a Shakespeare word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doth entertain the pudding. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we'll have to come back to the rhymes. Give me the next line, then.
The smiling sunny egg.
The smiling sunny egg.
Brightens.
What?
Brightens.
Oh, yeah, the smiling sunny egg brightens.
The misty morning.
Brightens this misty morning.
And
makes. What are you drinking?
It's morn, is it?
And makes.
Coffee.
And makes latte. This cappuccino. And makes a cappuccino. And makes a latte. Makes a latte. And makes a latte.
What was the bit before?
I don't know. The smiling sunny egg brightens this misty morning and makes a latte fool of us. Make a latte fool of us. Who?
Who hasten to our work.
Who hasten, yeah,
to our daily toil. Yeah.
Okay. Now we can work that up, right? I think that's the first eight lines, right? Mm-hmm. We can rhyme it later. Let's go on to the last six, right? Because if we do the last six, we keep a rhyming couplet at the end. So we've only got to do four more, and then we can be clever with the one in the middle. So let's go another one. Now, we've gone over breakfast here. So, what do you do?
What do I do?
I'm going
to go for a walk.
Now, yeah, what kind of work?
A walk.
Okay, now let's do this, you know.
Where he's
so off. So off on, what, walk, we'd say.
Okay, so off on.
What about walk? Where are you going to walk?
I'm going to walk out into the countryside.
Right.
So,
I'm
off to
I'm walking out to countryside. Why are you going to countryside?
To hear nature's rhythms and sounds.
Yeah.
And no, to immerse myself in.
Oh yeah. I'm walking out to countryside to merge myself with
bird song.
With birds. I'm walking out to countryside to merge myself with birds.
What the flowing streams.
Oh yeah, yeah. The flowing streams can. Can rumble on, can tumble down, can. What do the streams do for you?
They're gentler than that.
Oh, yeah. The flowing streams can gently.
Gently.
Stroke. At this point, unfortunately, the iPhone 4S battery died. And the poem did get finished, so I'll just read on, really. But I apologize for losing the creative conjuncture, the conversation, without which the poem wouldn't have even come into a first draft. The flowing streams can gently spirit the dream I never had. A breath of blissful breeze to veil away my face. Now we're into the last two lines, basically, so we're looking for a rhyming couplet, aren't we? So there we were. We struggled over this, of course. But a breath of blissful breeze to veil my face. And then we kind of went quickly to the very end to, you know, this human race was the phrase we had, because we need a rhyme with face and race. And the word fragments came in. So it's unfinished, as it should be. So the sonnet is unfinished, and the sonnet is a collectivity. There were three writers. There were three writers and a place and a history. So who is the author of the sonnet? It certainly wasn't me. It certainly couldn't have been written without William Shakespeare, although it doesn't have a single end of line rhyme yet. Maybe it'll never have, because the modern style in sonnets don't even have to rhyme. Yep, there we are. So look, what can I say?